Job 26 and verse 14. What a most excellent verse to meditate upon. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Verses 5 to 14 are understood here to be the continuation of 25:1-6, the speech of Bildad. They describe the awe and mystery of God's power. It asks that question, but the thunder of his power? Can anyone understand it? Who can understand it? The thought now takes shape for the entire verse. If we hear only the tiny whispers, the faintest noises of God's great acts, how can we grasp the true greatness of his power? Psalm 104, 6 and 7 says that God rebuked the waters above the mountains and they fled. At the sound of thy thunder, they took flight. The threatenings of God in verse 11 are in this way expressed in his thunder. In poetic terms, thunder in this line stands in sharp contrast to his whisper. However, thunder of his power intends to convey far more than powerful thunder. Zophar made the point in 11:6-9 that God's ways belong to the secrets or mysteries of his wisdom. They're hidden. The question is now asked, who can grasp, comprehend, not just the loudness of his power displayed in thunder, but his true greatness? How truly great and powerful God must be, or who can know how truly great God is? The doctrine, infinite and incomprehensible power, pertains to the nature of God. This is expressed in part in his works, or though there is a mighty expression of divine power in his works, yet an incomprehensible power pertains to his name. The thunder of his power, who can understand? The blessedness of God consists not in the knowledge of anything without him, but in the knowledge of himself and his own excellency as the principle of all things. He is blessed forever, Romans 9:5. He's God, blessed forever, and therefore forever had a knowledge of himself. Without the knowledge of himself, he could create nothing, for he would be ignorant of his own power and his own ability, and he that does not know how far his power extends could not act. If he did not know himself, he could know nothing, and he that knows nothing can do nothing. He could not know an effect to be possible to him unless he knew his own power as a cause. Without the knowledge of himself, he could govern nothing. He could not, without the knowledge of his own holiness and righteousness, prescribe laws to men, nor without a knowledge of his own nature, order himself a manner of worship suitable to it. All worship must be congruous to the dignity and nature of the object worshipped. He must therefore know his own authority, by which worship was to be enacted, his own excellency, to which worship is to be suited, his own glory, to which worship was to be directed. If he did not know himself, he did not know what to punish, because he would not know what was contrary to himself. Not knowing himself, he would not know what was in contempt of him, and what is in adoration of him, what was worthy of God, and what was unworthy of him. He could not know other things unless he knew himself, unless he knew his own power. He could not know how he created things unless he knew his own wisdom. He could not know the beauty of his works unless he knew his own glory. He could not know the end of his works. Unless he knew his own holiness, he could not know what was evil. And unless he knew his own justice, he could not know how to punish the crimes of his offending creatures. He must have infinite knowledge. To us, incomprehensibly so. God knows himself because his knowledge with his will is the cause of all other things that can fall under his cognizance. He knows himself first, before he can know any other thing. That is, first according to our conceptions, for indeed God knows himself and all other things all at once. He is the first truth, and therefore is the first object of his own understanding. There is nothing more excellent than himself, and therefore nothing more known to him than himself. As he is all knowledge, so he has in himself the most excellent object of knowledge. To understand is properly to know oneself. And no object is so intelligible to God as God is to himself, nor so intimately and immediately joined with his understanding as himself, for his understanding is his essence himself. He is incomprehensible to us in this. He knows himself by his own essence. He does not know himself in his own proper power by just effect, because he knows himself from eternity. before there was a world, or any effect of his power extant. It is not a knowledge by the cause, for God has no cause, nor a knowledge of himself by any species or anything from without. If it were anything from without himself, that must be created or untreated. If uncreated, it would be God. And so we must either own many gods or own that to be his essence, and so not distinct from himself. He is both infinite and incomprehensible in such a knowledge, in himself. If created, then his knowledge of himself would depend upon something else, upon some creature. He could not then know himself from eternity, but in time, because nothing can be created from eternity, but in time. God does not know himself by any faculty, for there is no composition in God. He's not made up of parts. He's a simple being. Some, therefore, have called God not understanding, because that savors of a faculty, but intellection. God is all act in the knowledge of himself and his knowledge of other things. He's infinitely so. He's incomprehensibly so. God, therefore, knows himself perfectly, comprehensibly. Nothing in his own nature is concealed from him. He reflects upon everything that he is. There is a positive comprehension. So God does not comprehend himself, or what is comprehended as bounds, and what is comprehended by itself is finite to itself. And there is a negative comprehension. God so comprehends himself. Nothing in his own nature is obscured to him, unknown by him. For there is as great a perfection in the understanding of God to know as there is in the divine nature to be known. The understanding of God and the nature of God, they're both infinite, and so equal to one another. His understanding is equal to himself. He knows himself so well that nothing can be known by him more perfectly than himself is known to himself. He knows himself in the highest manner, because nothing is so proportioned to the understanding of God as himself. He knows his own essence. He knows his own goodness. He knows his own power. He knows all his perfections. He knows his decrees. He knows his intentions and his acts and the infinite capacity of his own understanding, so that nothing of himself is in the dark to himself. And in this respect, some use this expression that the infiniteness of God is in a manner finite to himself because it is comprehended by himself. In this way, God transcends all creatures. In this way, his understanding is truly infinite, because nothing but himself is an infinite object for it. What angels may understand of themselves perfectly, I don't know. But no creature in the world understands himself. Man does not understand fully the excellency and parts of his own nature, much less the incomprehensible God. This God is wise. We should consider him as greatly wise in his manner of being, in his manner of works. God alone is wise, incomprehensibly so. His thoughts are deep, Psalm 92:5. His judgments unsearchable, his ways past finding out, Romans 11:33. Depths that cannot be fathomed, a splendor more dazzling to our dim minds than the light of the sun to our weak eyes. The wisdom of one man may be comprehended by another, might even be over-comprehended. And often men are understood by others to be wiser in their actions than they understand themselves to be. And the wisdom of one angel may be measured by another angel of the same perfection. But as the essence, so the wisdom of God is incomprehensible to any creature. God is only comprehended by God. The secrets of wisdom in God are doubled to the expression of it in his works. Canst thou by searching find out God? Job 11:6-7. There is an unfathomable depth in all his decrees and all his works. We cannot comprehend the reason of his works, much less than that of his decrees, much less that in his nature, because his wisdom, being infinite as well as his power, can no more act to the highest pitch than his power. And as his power is not terminated by what he has worked, but he could give further testimonies of it, so neither is his wisdom, but he could furnish us with infinite expressions and pieces of his skill. Though we might not comprehend it, we only apprehend glimmers, little glimmers and sparks of such an infinite and incomprehensible God. As in regards of his immensity, he is not bounded by the limits of place. In regard of his eternity, not measured by the minutes of time. In regard of his power, not terminated with this or that number of objects. So in regard of his wisdom, he is not confined to this or that particular mode of working. so that in regard of the reason of his actions as well as the glory and majesty of his nature, he dwells in unapproachable light, 1 Timothy 6:16. And whatsoever we understand of his wisdom in creation and providence is infinitely less than what is in himself and his own unbounded nature. Many things in Scripture are declared chiefly to be the acts of the divine will. Is it not amazing that the infinite and incomprehensible God has accommodated Scripture that we may see glimmers and sparks of his greatness? Yet we must not think that all of these acts of his divine wills were acts of mere will without wisdom. They are represented so to us with wisdom because we are not capable of understanding the infinite reason of its acts. We cannot dive deep into God's wisdom, but we know he is wise. His sovereignty is more intelligible to us even than his wisdom. This is why people ask the question, why did God create everything? Well, we say for his glory, but that's as far as wisdom allows us to pry. We can better know the commands of a superior, the laws of a prince, than understand the reason that gave birth to those laws. We may know the orders of the divine will as they're published, but not the sublime reason of his will. Though election is an act of God's sovereignty, and he has no cause from without to determine him, yet his infinite wisdom did not stand silent while mere dominion acted. Whatsoever God does, he does wisely, as well as sovereignly. Though that wisdom which lies in the secret place of the divine being be as incomprehensible to us as the effects of his sovereignty and power on the world are visible, God can give a reason of his proceeding, but that's drawn from himself, and yet we still do not understand it. The causes of things visible lie hid from us. Does any man know how to distinguish the seminal virtue of a small seed from the body of it, and in what nook and corner that lies, and what that is that spreads itself in so fair a plant and so many flowers when it blooms? Can we comprehend the justice of God's proceedings and the prosperity of the wicked and the afflictions of the godly? Yet, as we must conclude them, fruits of an unerring righteousness. So we must conclude all his actions the fruit of an unspotted wisdom. Though the working of all his counsels is not intelligible to us, though their foundations from eternity are not known to us, yet he is essentially and necessarily wise in all that he does. As he is essentially and necessarily good and righteous in all he does, infinitely so, to us incomprehensibly so. God is not only so wise that nothing wiser can be conceived, but he is wiser than can be imagined, something greater in all his perfections than can be comprehended by any creature. It is a foolish thing, therefore, to question that which we cannot comprehend. We should adore it instead. We should adore it instead of disputing it or disputing against it, and take for granted that God would not order anything were it not agreeable to the sovereignty of his wisdom as well as that of his will. He's told us this throughout the scriptures, accommodated to our language and our minds, our finite minds. Though the reason of man proceeds from the wisdom of God, yet there is more difference between the reason of man and the wisdom of God than between the light of the sun and the feeble shining of the glowworm. Yet we presume to censure the ways of God, as if our pure blind reason had a reach above him. Know, therefore, that God is infinite and incomprehensible. For infinite and incomprehensible power and knowledge and wisdom and works and righteousness pertains to the nature of God. It is of his essence and being. Amen.